guys, welcome to the roundtable. This is episode 117. I'm Jenny Walker, the social media ministry leader here at Life Church. And this is Mike Hill. He is just some cool dude sitting over there. I knew that wasn't to be expected.
That's perfect.
But yeah, he's our pastor. And sitting in between us is some girl I just found out.
Somebody just found out in the cafe. We just brought her in. We'll ask her if she could be a part of it.
Come here.
Miss Bree Allager.
Allgaier.
I was just waiting. The reason I would never say Bree's last name is because I knew.
Your last name is so hard, Bree, okay? Bree Allager.
Nope, Allguy.
Allguyer.
Yep.
Allguyer. Sorry. I'm terrible at names.
It's okay. I've been called All Gear.
That's why if you don't know somebody's name.
Some people just call me, say like alligator or something.
It's, oh my gosh.
I feel like we actually talked about this last time I was on TV.
Did we? We're having a lot of deja vu.
Well, did I tell you what happened at Isaac's wedding?
No.
So I've never called Bree her real name because, and honestly, I actually don't even know. I don't know it right now. I'm trying to decide which one it is. But when Isaac first started to date her,
yes,
it was like Brianna or Brianna.
You already
heard this?
And
I called her the wrong name.
Yes.
The whole time. Like, I was like, can't I just call you Bree? She's like, no, you gotta. My mom wants you to have like the full name.
Oh, her mom did? She doesn't like being called Bree?
No, Bree doesn't mind it, but like, you know how it is for weddings? Like, you could be called Mike from the time you're two.
Yes.
But then for some weird reason, when you go to get married, it's Michael.
Yeah.
You like, have nobody knows you as Michael.
Yeah.
You had to call you Michael.
That's how, a lot of people call me Brianna, but it's Brianna. But
yeah, that's.
Is that really? That's you too?
Yeah. Wow. Brianna, good thing Brianna. I just call you Brie. I know, that's hard.
But I mean,
Bree,
I normally
Bree
just
all
like,
gear. I mean, we can pull whatever.
When
we want.
Once I get started going to college, though, I just started telling people my name was Bree. I was like, it's Bree.
Yeah, just but keep also, it. It's so care. Much easier.
I also just don't care.
Don't people care what people call you? Do you have a nickname?
Bree.
No,
I mean, do you have a nickname, Jenny?
No, I mean like old nicknames from like when I was younger. Like,
yeah, I have nicknames from when I was little.
Yeah, like Jenny Bop. Yeah. Remember, because I'd bop around the stage when my mom was the children's whatever. And
okay. Like, but nothing up. Like when you're going through high school?
Jaywalker. Jaywalk.
Hey, what's up, Jaywalk?
Yeah.
Do you have anything other than Bree?
Yeah. I used to be obsessed with monkeys, so people called me Bobby Jack.
Bobby Jack? Wait, why?
Do you guys know like the Bobby Jack monkey? Like the cartoon?
No.
Well.
That's what it is.
It's this cartoon monkey in like, I had a full on like comforter set of Bobby Jack. I actually still have the comforter. It's actually in my dorm room right now.
It is?
Yes. And I put a duvet over it so that it's covered.
Yeah.
But like it's in my dorm room. I've had it since I was like in third, fourth grade. But I had like Bobby Jack shoes. I had a Bobby Jack, couple Bobby Jack shirts. I loved monkeys.
Wow.
You don't like them anymore?
I mean, they're cool, but I'm not obsessed with them like I was.
Bobby Jack. What about you?
Huh?
What about you?
Hollywood.
Hollywood?
What are you laughing for?
The way you just like not nonchalantly.
The first time I hit
like a Hollywood. So what's that story?
I don't actually remember what it was in high school, but Sherry's like during football or something, I think they called me Hollywood.
Hollywood.
I don't remember how it goes.
I feel like you're the farthest thing from Hollywood.
I always wonder how to take these comments. There was a lady, Bree, this week. This lady comes in and she's like, I don't know who she is. She comes over and she said, hey, I just want you to know that I've been like these hippie people, you know, that I find out on the like outside or, you know, or I see them in public.
Yeah.
I always tell them to come to the hippie church, your church. I'm like, I give them the pins and I'm like, you need to go to Life Church because you'll love it. It's like a hippie.
You'll fit right in. You're a hippie.
Do I look like a hippie?
That's another nickname you've been given, hippie.
Huh?
You've been given the name, the nickname hippie.
I don't look like a hippie?
No.
What do I look like? On first glance.
Well, I mean, the first time I ever saw you, you were in a cut-off flannel and cowboy boots. And your jeans tucked in.
That's the best.
So, oh, with my jeans tucked in.
Hardest thing from Hollywood, and yeah. I don't know so much of hippie, but whatever that would be.
Okay, hillbilly. Yeah. We'll stick with hillbilly.
Hillbilly?
That's a pretty common.
There you go.
Yeah. 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 Okay, Brie, last book that you've read that you've loved and you would recommend to somebody.
Do you read?
She's in college.
I know, but like,
you don't, if you like can say you don't read, that's fine.
I do sometimes. Okay. But I'll just say one of the books that I read for classes because my teachers pick a lot of good books.
Okay.
And they make you read them, not like, like actual books.
Jenny, did you go to college? They give you books that you have to read.
Not
they don't like, give them to you for that.
Not
of
like
it.
Leisurely books. Huh? Not like good books.
I'm in ministry classes, so
that's true. Okay.
They're ministry books.
Okay,
so
they're
like
good.
they're good normally. Okay. They have like good advice and like stories and stuff in them. Emotionally, hold on, I'm trying to remember. Emotionally healthy leader.
Emotionally healthy I think, leader.
Or discipleship. One of those. I can't really remember.
Do you know what she's talking about?
No.
Oh. Well, he knows. He's read a lot of books. So
No, like. I haven't read that one. Mm. No. And there's it's some. What's really something good. You took away from it?
Limits. It's just a lot about like how we're human and we have limits.
Okay.
And how if we go outside those limits, it can affect our like leadership and how we are like looked at from other people or how like we serve others, how we do the job that God is calling us to do. Because if we go out those limits and we're testing the limits that God has given us,
okay.
then we're pretty much saying like, hey, we don't trust God. We don't trust you with the limits that you've given us. So we're going to go out and do our own thing.
So do you think going into ministry, a challenge will be boundaries? So that's essentially what you're saying,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm. Like they're- yeah, 100%. Because like, I mean, you want to do everything all the time for all people, like going into ministry. Like for me, I want to be, I'm a sojourner at Huntington, which is like the spiritual life leader. Sojourner.
Sojourner.
It's like a spiritual life leader on a floor or some people call someone once referenced to them as the youth pastor on the floor.
Okay.
Yeah. That
like, is this a self-given title or are they
like it's every single floor has one.
Oh,
and like
sojourner.
They do floor worships every single week. And in my dorm, we have two per floor.
Okay.
But for that, I want to be able to be there for all my girls and meet with them whenever they need me. I want to be like, if they need me in the middle of the night, I want to be able to meet with them in the middle of the night. I want to be able to give them everything I have.
Okay.
But I can't always give them my whole entire energy if I'm not stepping back and respecting the limits that the Lord has given me.
Okay. Like sleeping?
Like sleeping.
Yeah.
Or like one-on-one time with the Lord or my prayer life or reading scripture. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm neglecting those things, I'm not going to be much help to the girls on my floor.
Hmm. Do you think that's a college thing that people have problems in the middle of the night? Because like after college, hardly anybody's up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
I don't know.
But I hear these college
I'm going to be honest.
Things.
I go to bed before 11.
You do? Is this a new thing?
Did you
no.
see the look on
No.
It was totally disgusting.
I was. I'm just really shocked.
Why?
Because Bree's not like that. When did you become like that?
When did you become normal, Brie?
Yeah.
When did you get into real society where people go to bed at night?
Why are you leaving me out here? Remember?
When did you become an adult, Brie?
No,
you
actually think it started when I started opening up for the cafe.
Oh,
and
that
then,
makes sense.
And
yeah.
then I realized how healthy it was
healthy.
To go to bed early.
Oh.
And
that's cool.
Wake up well. So and it, you know, it had a really good like
maybe as
effect.
You sojourn, you can talk to Jenny about her sleeping
yeah,
habits.
Yeah.
It's gotten my roommate this year. My roommate last year was like, or no, my roommate this year, last year.
It,
right.
We got
following?
It.
Okay.
We got it.
Was like, I average like going to bed at like 2 every single night or whatever. And I was like, that ain't happening this year unless if you're going to be out of the room.
And so she became like that.
But now she goes to bed when I go to bed.
Wow.
Before 11 o'clock.
That's amazing.
See? And you feel so much better.
Oh, I feel amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm also a morning person though. I love mornings.
So does Jenny.
I'm not a night person.
Jenny, you hate
I love it both.
You like the morning and the night.
Yeah, I used to myself to be a night person.
I don't like the middle of the
day. I can fake it pretty well, but.
Okay, so forget books. Well, we got one book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how about a movie or a
TV shows?
TV show that was like my favorite, and this is what I love about it.
Are you watching any right now?
I don't watch TV that much.
You don't watch it anymore?
I'm thinking. Huh?
I thought you used to watch Netflix.
You're killing Jenny's Netflix. Whole perspective of you. Like, you go to bed at night. You're disciplined.
No, you don't sit around and watch TV. Camp, man. She came back from camp different. Okay. She did.
Jenny's whole perspective, you just went in the toilet. You're no longer this just spontaneous. Binge watch, don't go to bed.
My ADHD free spirit. Friend.
Oh, I still got that. Don't worry.
Do you have a TV show or you have a movie that's like...
Does it have to be like Christian based or just...
No.
Oh,
no.
My favorite TV show is Boy Meets World.
Good old Boy Meets World.
So good.
I have no idea what that is.
You've not... What? That was like Nick, in do you the know 90s. Boy Meets World?
Oh, Nick knows.
I guarantee he does, yeah.
So good.
Okay. Like, and you took away... Like, what's the premise of it? Like, why do you love it? Is it...
It's just heartening, I guess.
Heartening?
Yeah, yeah. I would say. Meaning? Like, it's just like a family...
Yeah, it's very family-oriented.
90s.
And like it shows the problems of families, but then it will like...
Like Modern Family?
Like the TV show Modern Family?
I don't think so, because I've never seen it. But all I know is I was allowed to watch Boy Meets World and not Modern Family growing up. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I was bored driving back from out west 2 years ago, and Brady put the phone up and had Modern Family playing for like...
Yeah, that's fun.
I wasn't allowed to watch Modern Family growing up, so I have no
idea. Yeah, it's way more
intense
than Boy Meets World.
Okay. Boy Meets World is very like...
Disney.
It also goes from the kid, like the kids from when they're starting in like third or fourth grade all the way till they go to college.
Mm-hmm.
So like you're following this, these like kids in their, not like their real life, but like their life through that TV. And it's really cool to see them like grow up, because it's not like, it's not really like shows now where they go for two seasons and, or have, I don't even know. I don't even really watch the TV shows now, but like they would have problems as kids that kids would have.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's a good show.
All right. Boy Meets World.
I watched it when I was growing up.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right. Favorite childhood memory. And it can be childhood. We're saying middle school, high school, young child. Something that was just like the best.
Good times.
I can't think about anything.
I know. I'm telling you.
When I'm asked these questions, it's just like.
I get it.
You want me to ask Jenny first?
One of my, sure.
Well, I actually saw a meme about this the other day, and I've just been waiting for somebody. Okay. My favorite childhood memory was not paying taxes. Oh, whatever. It was funny.
Did that go with
something? That was it.
Okay.
That was it. But that was the meme. It was so great.
Yeah.
People were sharing it.
And a meme is the...
The pictures.
Okay.
That are on the internet.
And you get them on your phone?
Yeah, you can get them anywhere.
Okay. Okay. Have you ever sent me a meme?
No. I don't think so.
Is that a weird
But would
thing?
You like me to?
Yeah.
Because I could.
Yeah, send me something.
Okay, we can have a...
Now I can learn technology.
Yeah.
How to send memes.
Keep you up on the trends.
Okay, so...
Okay, my favorite childhood memory.
I mean, it's not that long, but you've been in high school.
No.
You don't have any, like, high school memories of...
Yeah. Like, you were just there, man. Gosh.
I mean, you're still a child.
I was just there. I'm.
Oh, no, she's not.
Yes.
She's an adult.
She's.
You know what?
19,
I'm 21.
Yeah, okay. She turned 21 this year.
I was talking. Okay. Little side note. I was talking to my dad about this the other day. I was like, you know what's crazy is that people will look at me as if I'm a child at 21 years old. But if I was married, they would not look at me as a child.
Mm.
Why are you getting married?
No, I'm just saying that if I had a man in my life, they would not think I was a child.
Okay.
I know, isn't that ridiculous?
But they're like, oh, you're single. You're 21. You're still a little baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that really how it works?
I think so.
I feel like that's...
Yeah, I feel like I'm immature because of that. That's what people No, like that's why people think, you know what I mean?
We think you're a child because you don't have a man?
Yeah. Like in the eyes of like somebody, like if I was married and had kids, and I probably would look more like mature and like,
you would look more mature?
Yeah. Like people
would just think you are, oh yeah, that's a mature person.
Yeah.
But like right now I'm just running through the halls of Walmart at like
not
8 o'clock,
2 a.m. because
8 o'clock, and people are like, wow, dang. But if they saw that I had like a big rock on my finger, they'd be like, oh, she just needs some time to herself.
So do you have a boyfriend?
No.
No. No interest? Don't care?
Like, no interest in having a boyfriend?
Yeah.
I mean, I do. Yeah.
Okay. She's waiting for the Lord.
Okay. Waiting for the right one.
Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So we're back to childhood memories. It got off onto I'm a baby because I'm not married. So, like, do you have anything?
She doesn't want to talk about it.
You don't want to talk about a boyfriend?
She doesn't have a boyfriend.
I don't have one.
You don't want to talk about
she has
waiting
one in mind.
Oh my gosh. Oh,
the big reveal? Is that what this podcast
reveal.
Is?
No reveal.
No.
But, no. No reveal.
Okay. But you have this in your head. You know who this person is.
Okay.
I do.
My favorite childhood memory is when, oh my gosh. When I was, went, oh, wow. I was in Nebraska visiting my sister. And she had like a farm and she had horses and everything. And I went and bought a pair of pink cowgirl boots so that I could go horseback riding.
You have a sister that lives in Nebraska?
Yeah.
And she's a horseback person?
Well,
she lives has on horses.
Her ex-husband was. he had horses.
Got it.
That's fun.
But they were together then. So I was able to go horseback riding.
Not now.
It was really fun. And I just was on the horse and I woke up the next day with bruises on my foot or my leg because the horse was going so fast and the shoes were like, boom, boom, boom.
Oh my gosh. It's really intense.
It was so much fun though.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think about that and I'm like, oh, what a time.
That Jenny, you love horseback riding?
Yeah. I like it.
Really?
Like
real horseback riding.
What's
not the zoo.
What's not. No, no. I've been to Mackinac Island and done it there. Wait, was it there? I don't know. Or maybe it was in Colorado, somewhere out there.
Done Mackinac Island and Colorado,
times.
They're close.
I mean, yeah.
Okay. But you've never had like, you've never went.
Not like freestyle.
Freestyle.
Like, freestyle.
You haven't just been like, go out on somebody's ranch and jump on a horse.
No.
Like Yellowstone.
Nope. Never just done it bareback.
Not bareback.
Not,
I'm just saying, you know, when you go to these places and you pay to ride a horse,
no.
I mean, they're pretty well trained. Like, you can't get them to do much.
Well, I mean, isn't that the same as going on like a horse trail?
No. Like, if you go to out to, like when we used to have horses, like the horses you get on out there are not trail horses.
What is the difference?
A trail horse is pretty much going to follow the horse in front of it no matter what you
do. Yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't go off course.
Yeah,
this one was pretty good.
Yeah, it just stays on course.
Yeah.
Okay. Most influential person in your life other than Jesus?
That's a really good question.
I know, right? I'm telling you. These questions.
You should have given, like, texted me these questions beforehand.
I know. I'm sorry.
And you need to give these questions to people prior.
Yeah.
Well, Jenny, who's the most influential person in your life? Or ask Nick.
Nick, who's the most influential person in your life?
Jenny, you don't have that just, like, off the top of your head?
No, I'm like her, man. Like, I really got to think about
it. Didn't you have, like, moments where there were people, like, that significantly
impacted you? I feel like,
you,
I mean, yeah, but I feel like it was just, like, different seasons. It's not, like, one person like,
phew. Yeah, like, for me, it's seasonal. Like, there are people.
Yeah.
Greg Miller, when I was in the mission field, he was a, like, significant mentor on, like, the American church needs fixed. Because you go overseas and it's like, you see all, we went to Guatemala with them and it's like, this is real ministry. Like, hike to the mountains, get out in the world, do things.
Mm-hmm.
American churches sit in your office and, you know, make sermons and that's the only thing you ever do. And yeah, he was just a great influence. Like, he was seasonally, that was an important piece of my journey, you know? Mm-hmm. So do you have seasonal ones? Like, where it was...
Yes, I need to just process my brain.
Jenny, oh, yeah, so I do.
You got like, yours, Jenny? Okay.
I forget her name, though.
This person
was
so
influential. I'm just trying to remember it. No, she is really influential, but I can't remember people's names for whatever reason. But she was while I was at the Dream Center in Huntington, which was not good for me during those like whole 8 months or 9 months, 10 months, 11 months, actually. Wow. But she was a really like godly woman. I didn't really see it that often in like that kind of a personality. I don't know. She just shaped the way I viewed Christian people. And she waited, like, she was just a really good person. Like, she waited until she got married to have sex. And just, it was just like I don't know. It was just, I didn't, normally when you hear that, it's like weird people do that, but like she was cool, you know?
Weird people wait to have sex till they're married.
Yeah, that's how it was. Yeah. No, I don't think you're weird.
No, but you're saying in general.
But it was inspiring. But like it shifted my mind.
Yeah, sex. Like to the world, it's weird.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah. The only thing I can think of is when I was like, I think it was middle school. middle school, I went to lunch with one of the youth leaders, because I just wasn't doing well. And there was a lot of drama going on with my friends. Surprise, surprise. It was middle school.
Yeah.
I don't even remember
girls.
Everything.
Girls.
I don't even remember,
girls.
I don't even remember everything that was going on, but I just remember her saying, that like, just because like they're quote unquote, like good people, like they are nice or whatever, doesn't mean they're good for you. Mm. And I was like, whoa. I don't know why that completely like changed my perspective, but yeah. I was like, oh, that means like I don't have to be friends with every single person. I don't have to have every single person pouring into me. Right. Like they could be a healthy like friend for this person, but that doesn't mean they're going to push me and encourage me.
Mm. Right.
So that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Nick, did you come up with one?
Yeah. So there's a tech director at another church. His name's Kevin.
Oh, wow.
Aww.
Yeah, we just started to know each other just through, you know, similar positions at church, and eventually it's turned into more of like a mentor.
That's cool.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's exciting.
That is cool.
Yeah. It really is. Mm-hmm.
And how did you connect with, like, just randomly?
I met him through another friend, but we went up to go to, I looked around at his church right before we started live streaming.
Okay.
And we've just stayed connected for the past 4 years.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. That is cool.
All right, Bree, so talk about something in your life spiritually. So like we talk about spiritual, I call them markers, like things in your life where you put a marker down and say, hey, God's done some pretty amazing things. It could be things that like you're working through, like earlier we were talking, not like maybe presently, but have like what it looks like to forgive people or self-image, like some of those things that, or self-identity, maybe that was the word terminology used, but something that like you've wrestled with and then come out on the other side faithful, like that you've struggled with but you've seen God work and you've come out on the other side and you've learned and you're growing in your faith.
Yeah. So a little bit of like starting college. I started coming here my freshman year. Because I moved to Huntington, so that just makes sense. Anyways.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Because normally college people go to the well. They had before, but I feel like a lot is coming here.
I don't feel
here.
Like we have that many college students to come now. To
not really.
We're
need
not,
to bring them back.
We're not very popular. We are not the popular church.
It's fine. But starting my freshman year, it was just really, I was like letting a lot of my guards down that I kind of had up, like built up like back home from either school, around friends, or around like certain family members or whatever it is. I just had these walls. And they kind of just started like slowly like crumbling down when I came
to
school.
And you built walls just to protect yourself?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. For protection. Whether it's like protect my mind, like protect my emotions. Like if I was just like, oh, I'm not going to feel this emotion because I know if I feel this emotion, then I'm just going to go. So when I got to school, I didn't have to have those guards up. So they just like broke down. Like they were just down. And they fell down pretty like drastically. And I didn't know how to like cope, I guess I could say. I didn't know how to like take care of myself. So things would start like spiraling down. And it got to the point where I was like, okay, like it started like me getting confused. And I was like, okay, like what emotions am I feeling? And then it went to somehow going to where like looking at my identity and looking at my self image. And I was like, okay, I don't like who I am, but because of how I've grown up and I've been seen as such a confident person, I was like, okay, but I can't admit that I don't like myself.
Mm-hmm.
I can't admit that I'm not really doing well because people expect this from me.
Yeah.
And it got to the point where I wasn't eating really anything. I was barely ever happy, which like, I mean, when a lot of people, when they see me, like I'm smiling like all the time, but I was not wanting to smile. I didn't even really want to wake up. And it just got worse and worse and worse. And I would even get to the point where I was like weighing myself all the time, like on the scale mm-hmm. every single day. And like, that was where I always found my identity, mm-hmm. Was that number. And like, it was like a game to me of like getting the scale lower.
Yeah.
And, then in the summer, I ended up going to the doctor. I got diagnosed with depression and anxiety. And we were trying to figure out like things that we should do. I ended up going to the doctor like 10 times within like 1 year for weight checkups, medicine checkups, because I was trying all these different medicines and the doctor wanted to make sure that I was like on a different type of medicine, because I take ADHD medicine. I've taken it since I was in first grade, but I was taking a stimulant at mm-hmm. First. And if you aren't eating, you can't take a stimulant because it's really, really bad for your body. Like it could do a lot of major negative effects.
Yeah.
So they ended up having to switch my ADHD medicine as well while I was also trying new like antidepressants and anti-anxiety pills.
Wow.
And during this time I was also like, that was like started during the summer. And during that summer, I was a full-time babysitter, which was absolutely incredible. I loved those kids. Mm-hmm. And, but I would be taking care of the kids, but neglecting myself. And then school started and I was still not taking care of myself. My grades started dropping, lost my GP, like my scholarship that goes for my GPA because my grades were so bad. Missed a lot of classes. A lot of homework assignments I just missed because I couldn't do them. I couldn't get out of bed. I couldn't do them. And that was really hard. And I just did not like who I was. I did not like it. I did not want to be alive, but I knew that the Lord had something for me, but I just couldn't see it. But I still just held on by a thread, like held on to him by a thread. Cause I was like, I know that there's something, because even though I do not feel right in this moment, like I know scripture is true. I know scripture is true. Like I know that God, if God promises something, he's going to keep that promise. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to hold on to that. And, there was one time during Christmas break, I was actually on my way here for church, on a Sunday morning from home in Woodburn, and, a song, "Oh, How He Loves Us," came on. And I literally, anger rose up inside of me and I like slammed my radio to turn off my music. And then I just froze and I was like, whoa, what just happened? Because I know I actually do have anger issues. Nobody knows that though, because, yeah. Anyways, but I was like, whoa, like why did I react like that? Because I don't skip worship songs unless mm-hmm. if it's like, I'm like in a really hype mood and it's just way too slow of a song. Or if I'm just like not in a hype mood and like, it's way too hype of a song.
Yeah.
So I was like, whoa, why did I just turn that off? Why did I just skip that song? That was really weird. And God was like, you just aren't letting me love you. And I was like, what? I was like, what do you mean? Like, I'm doing what you tell me to do. He was like, no, you don't eat. And I was like, what? He was like, you don't eat. And I was like, what does that have to do with anything? And he was like, you don't take care of yourself. And, during this year, like school, some friends of mine at Huntington started this worship night called Met by Love. Mm-hmm. And I really, really wanted to be a part of it, but I felt there was just something that was like, God was like, no, like you can go, but you cannot be part of the leadership team. And I was like, well, why not? And in that car ride, God was like, why would I let you be part of a leadership team that is like exemplifying and speaking about being met by God's love when you won't even let yourself be met by my love? And I was like, what? And all I have to do is eat for that, which I mean, right now to me, it doesn't sound like that big of a deal. And to other people, it may not sound like a big deal, but like to me then, like that was a big deal. Like I did not want to eat. That was the last thing I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Like I wanted to skip that meal. Mm-hmm. I did not want to eat. And he was like, all you have to do is eat. And I was like, why? Like, you don't understand how hard that is, which I said that to God. And he was like, are you kidding me? But anyways, and then I came to church and you were talking about selfishness, and I don't know if it was like, it probably, when you were talking about selfishness, you were probably talking about like, oh, taking care of yourself, doing everything for yourself. But to me, it hit me in a different way. It was like, oh, I'm not eating and that is selfish of me, of not eating. Because when I don't eat and I don't take care of myself, I'm not able to be used in the way God wants to use me. I'm not able to serve the people around me in the ways that they need to be served if I'm not meeting my own needs, at the basic level of eating food. And I think it's John 13:14.
Mm-hmm. Just say it.
I'm trying to.
Oh, you don't even remember the verse?
It was like the one who can be faithful with
little. Can be faithful with much,
but yeah. Those who cannot won't be faithful with little is mistrusted with much or whatever. Yeah. That. And I was like, I don't even think Mike like said anything about that verse, but it just like popped into my head and I was like, that was really weird.
Yeah.
And so then I opened it, I read it, and God was like, dude, you literally have an abundance amount of food.
Mm-hmm.
And you expect me to allow you to do like help this person, disciple this person, guide this person, lead this person, but you won't even eat like the toast in front of you. Like I give you this and I can't even trust you to feed yourself. How would I trust you to like spiritually feed my other children? Mm. And yeah. I was like, whoa, like this was all in one morning. And I was just like, whoa, like what is happening? Yeah. And I looked like a goofball. I didn't actually, okay, no, I definitely looked like a goofball. I was sitting in like the third row, like I normally do, crying my eyes out while all these people are like, wow, like convicted by their selfishness and doing like, oh man, like, man, I need to stop like taking quiet time for me. And I'm like, bro, I just need to feed myself.
But like people think it's as simple as just eat, but like not eating, yeah. Like, messes with your mind.
Yeah.
It messes with like everything
yeah.
about like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, like, let's talk about that for a second. Cause I've always had an opinion and I don't know if this opinion is, why are you laughing?
Cause it's gotta be good.
Yeah. I mean, so you're talking to, essentially because I mean, we dealt with this with my sister. So my sister was anorexic, not that, again, I'm not saying
right.
anorexic. Part of what you're saying the not eating, but she was anorexic. She was bulimic. She ended up,
yeah.
I mean, lots and lots and lots of things happened to her, you know, where, I mean, she saw some permanent damage stuff,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you know, from years worth of that. But in that process and then being a youth pastor for so many years and just seeing so many young women, it seems like the majority at some point in their life struggle with identity, which leads to some sort of I call them eating disorders. They call them diets,
you know,
but they are to a certain extent eating disorders that, I mean, they can get worse down the road, but why is it, or what has made that so difficult for a woman? Why is it so hard for a woman that they would struggle, that it turns into just what you're saying? I mean, it's gets to the place where it's not only affecting your body, it's affecting your mind, it's affecting your relationship with God. It's like, what do you think it is? Or is it, you know, that's just my perception, that I think a lot of women struggle and I think it's at a different level and they hide behind sometimes like, well, I just want to be healthy.
It's trauma.
It's trauma.
So a lot of eating disorders, because like when I was in rehab,
okay.
I mean, majority of the women that were in there, as well as myself, like have had eating disorders.
Okay.
And a lot of it is from trauma because, and you don't realize it at the time, but it's like a sense of like protection of like, I can control this. I can control my own body and or striving for that perfection of that number.
Yeah.
Like it's the obsession, I don't know. Yeah. I guess it's just, it is like something trying to keep you away from God.
Yeah. I think it's like a lot to do with like control. Because like I was saying, when I came into my freshman year, my like walls came down, like my protecting guards, like just came crashing down. And like, I couldn't control really my emotions. There were a lot of things around me I couldn't control, but what I could control was what I was eating and if I was not eating.
But is that something you struggled with in high school? Cause it just seems weird that like all of a sudden something would just be like, oh, I'm going to choose not to eat.
I think it's more of just like, in high school, I had those walls built up.
Okay.
Like I didn't, my emotions and my mental health didn't go like off the wall when I was in high school because I had like, I was keeping everything that if I let them go, like I was just keeping them back there, like contained, which also isn't good because it's suppressing your like emotions and your trauma and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But once I got to college, like I just wasn't suppressing that anymore. And it wasn't like back in a little box. It just like flung open.
Right. Do Do you think it's possible, Jenny, too? Like when you say, is it possible for somebody to struggle with body image and all of those things, even if they didn't have trauma?
I think the world we live in today makes it very easy for anybody. I think every woman would say that they have some sort of image. For example, like when I take pictures of the life group leaders, like every single person that came in there was like, it was the worst day of their life. Like, because they didn't want their picture taken. They complained about something about themselves. And it was just like amazing to see, because not one person like sat in there and was not necessarily excited for it, but like was it happy to be who they were.
Right.
So I was excited for the picture.
do you think that there are things that have contributed to poor self-image for young girls?
Absolutely.
That's more prevalent today than it was.
Media.
Yeah. And I think like even it's seeping into our young men now too.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. Big time. Because a lot of times, like, I see a bunch of my friends who, not all of them, but like a lot of times, like the gym, like gym junkies, like,
yeah, that's what it is.
Like they are doing it to strive for a certain image. And so they may work out an unhealthy amount, or they may take like not like illegal like substances, but they may take too much. They may take too much of like, what's it called?
Creatine.
Protein. Or, the workout. Pre-workout.
Pre-workout.
Like too much of pre-workout to like, oh, look what I can do. Like I can do this.
Get jacked up.
Yeah. And like, it's not healthy. And they do that for a certain image. Or it's because like, oh, this is something I can control.
Men's like buffer, like that kind of thing. And then women's like getting smaller.
Yeah.
Which the funny thing is, I don't think people like either one of them. Like from a body image standpoint, like I don't think anybody, what do you like?
I don't know.
Don't have a preference.
Yeah. No, I know, but like, do you want a guy that's like, looks like he's been in the gym his whole life and has a six pack and.
Sure.
that is what you want?
No, like, I mean, you it's like not that. What I want it's or what
just,
I don't want.
It's just like, whatever.
Yeah, I wouldn't what do you mean be, it's what you I wouldn't want be upset with it. Huh? You know, that would be just a nice little plus.
Yeah. I mean, because I'm assuming in those places do things that would draw attention, right? Like, so whether it's you can control it or not, I mean, I don't think people would do something that would be like, oh, yeah, like I don't notice you on either side of it.
What do you mean?
So would you go to the gym and work out and try to get buffed if you don't think that people notice it? Like, I can't imagine it's just for yourself.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Like, well, I just can't imagine anybody, if they're not getting affirmation from somebody that would be like, wow, look at you.
And that's what also it is too, because the validation and like of somebody suggesting or being like, oh my gosh, you look like smaller, like that comment, or have you been working out, like that kind of a thing is what, I guess maybe that self, this problem that's going on within themselves, like that affirms or like it makes them feel seen or heard or loved. Like they're just looking for everything in the wrong place.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So Bree, speak to this, because we're getting to the place where we got to get to your questions. So speak to the idea that, so you're at home, you're in school, you go to college and you go to a Christian university, right? And you're surrounded by Christian people. Mm-hmm. And so what can we do for people? Because you're surrounded in dorms full of people that should be lifting you up, but you're fighting a quiet battle, right? That in the amongst of people that are there, what can people, because you're not, obviously you're not the only one.
Right.
I mean, there are other people out there that have walked that journey, you know, that are in places where you're surrounded by people, but you feel alone. I mean, and that's, I feel like that's what I was hearing you say, like you're alone in your struggles. And so you made decisions. So what can somebody who's struggling, what can they do, you know, and then what can friends do that are around people to help with those issues? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think one, like if you were in the space of struggling, really hard, like being open, like, I mean, that sounds so cheesy of like, oh, just be open, talk to people, but like seriously, like just talk to people. Like we are a body of Christ for a reason. We are meant to have our brothers and sisters. We are meant to lean on each other. We are meant to carry each other's burdens and then like give them up to Christ.
Right.
Like that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to bring things into the light. And if we just hold it into the dark, then mm-hmm. it's not going to get any better.
Right.
And see, for me, I was bringing to light. I was being honest with my friends. I was telling them when I was not okay. Mm. And my friends were there for me. They were praying.
Okay.
But I think it was a lot of like, just a lot of spiritual warfare and, mm-hmm. Just also with the medications, like it was just weird and interesting. Yeah. But I always knew that my friends were there. And also like, if you are a friend of someone struggling, I think you're never going to ask too many questions.
Okay.
Especially if you're a really, really close friend, like mm-hmm. personally, I don't think I would have ever like, I may just be like, okay, I can't answer questions right now. I just want to sit and breathe. Mm-hmm. But like, if they are genuine, like I am concerned for you questions, you're never going to ask too many of them.
Right.
Of like, okay, are
they
you,
care for you. You're
yeah,
seeing that.
Yeah. Like, do you need help? What can I do for you? Even if it's the smallest thing of like doing their laundry or their dishes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, just being there and showing that genuine love and interest to help in any way possible is such a difference. Even if it's just asking how they're doing, but not asking how are you doing in passing, but like stopping, looking at you in the face and saying, how are you doing?
Right.
Because
actually caring.
Yeah, yes. Because the day that I went to the hospital one day for a psych evaluation, last year, first semester, and my friend like stopped me in my tracks and like looked at me and said, how are you doing? Immediately broke down crying.
Mm.
And I was like, I just don't want to be here. And I don't know why. Like I know the Lord has something for me, but I don't know what to do.
Right.
And I was just confused and my brain was like fighting itself.
Right.
But really just like for the people struggling, like talk about your issues.
Mm.
It does a big difference and don't isolate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm starting to go down a dark path if I start isolating, not spending like healthy alone time is necessary, but like isolating and like being like, oh, all my friends are doing this, but I'm really just going to stay over here. Cause I just don't want to be around people. And like, like there's a difference between isolating and taking time for yourself.
Right.
And so like, don't isolate, surround yourself with people who love you. And there are people who love you. Like you may feel like they don't love you, but they do.
Right.
And then for the people who are friends with them, just like asking how they're doing genuinely, being there for them, doing little tasks for them. Honestly, sometimes just sitting with them in silence too, just being there.
Just being a presence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Okay, Jenny, got questions for
me? All right, here. Yes, I do. So from Jamie Tackett, and this is, I love this
one. Oh, I didn't know you guys did this.
Oh, this is new, sort of. But how can we pray for you?
Hey, that's a good
I know,
one.
I love that.
Oh
good
my
job,
gosh.
Jamie.
That's incredible.
That should be like our number one question on here. Like how we end it.
Please, wow.
I know.
So I came from a camp this past summer. I was a camp counselor and my camp really stressed sharing the gospel with the kids, which was awesome. Like most camps do, but they normally share on like the last night of camp.
Mm-hmm.
But like my camp was like, please share it the first or second night so that the rest of the week, the kids can ask questions if they have questions.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's smart.
And we're not sending them home with questions.
Yeah.
And like some kids would be sent home with questions and have nobody to ask because
right.
their parents aren't doing things, but like they would be at camp with questions, being able to ask us. And I just thinking about it, I want to be able to bring that into my life at school. Cause yes, I go to a Christian university, but I feel like there are so many students lost at Huntington.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
So many to the point where it just absolutely breaks my heart. They're lost, but even the people who grew up in church and, say that Christ is their savior, like they may not know the true gospel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like they may not fully believe the promise that God has given them of like, if you confess me as your savior, and the only way to get to heaven, like you will be there. Because we would ask the, like on a scale of 0 to 100,
mm-hmm.
Do you think you're going to heaven?
Right.
And a lot of kids would be like, oh, like 80, because like, I believe in Jesus and I accepted him as my savior, but like, you can't really be for sure. No, you can be for sure.
Yeah.
Like the Bible says, if you announce and say with your mouth, like, God, you are my savior. I can't do anything without you. Like, and you dedicate your life to him, you are going to heaven. Like God promised that. And mm-hmm. we should be able to hold God accountable to his word.
Right.
Like we're going to go to heaven if that's what you do.
Right.
And it doesn't have to do with works, but just being able to talk about that and like share that with the people around me at school and the girls on my floor. I just really want the gospel to be a really hardcore thing of what I share around my campus this year.
Yeah, good.
So more moments for that, like yeah. for more moments for like hearts to be softened.
Yeah,
and
yeah. for opportunities eyes to share to be open.
Yeah. yeah.
Good.
All right, from Tammy Gass, what is your dream job?
Youth pastor.
But what, like, if you could do it anywhere, because okay. I already said youth pastor in the questionnaires that you're okay. in youth ministry. So what would be your dream job like that you could do after, like after through youth ministry? Like, do you have a specific place that you want to go to?
No, not really.
Just wherever.
Yeah.
Okay.
You, that's good.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Gina Van Meter. Okay. I can't wait to hear your story, sweet girl. You are just a breath of fresh air. Your lightness of Christ is wonderful.
Gina Thanks, is Gina. Full of encouragement.
She is. She
so
is.
So sweet.
All right. Tammy Dennis. Your smile is contagious. What is one thing you do for others that brings you great joy?
Oh, okay. So... honestly, I just love doing things for people. We took this thing on how, like a little assessment on how we connect with God, like a training thing that I did. And one of my first thing was enthusiast. So I guess I connect with God with being excited. I need to research a little bit more about that one, but I also connect with God through like being a caregiver. So caring for others. And one thing I have found in the past like year and a half that I love doing is I love baking for people.
Really?
Which is crazy. Like,
so what did you bake for us?
Yeah. What did you bake today?
Just kidding. Yeah. Just kidding.
But like the girls on my floor, I love being able to like make cookies and like put them on the table so that like if they're leaving for the day, they just like, oh my gosh, there's a thing of cookies. Like,
yeah, I gotta have a everybody cookie. Gets happy with cookies.
Yeah, exactly. And it doesn't take much to make like chocolate chip cookies. And like just seeing people.
Jenny.
I feel like it does.
Seeing people
Jenny.
Like, oh my gosh, cookies. Like it just makes my heart all happy.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Like,
so
I feel like candy. You couldn't make cookies?
I hate cooking. I hate baking.
What do you eat?
Like easy stuff.
Like
stuff I can put in the toaster.
Ravioli,
or the
ramen.
Microwave.
Like a toaster strudel?
Yeah, but I haven't had one of those in a while.
Okay. So what is your normal meal at night?
So I go through like phases. So right now it's rice. Like I'm really into rice.
Oh yeah. That's just
like
ADHD
I've gotten a ton
thing.
Of rice.
Are you, okay. you're hyper fixated on rice right now?
Yeah.
Just that's it. Rice.
Rice and like stuff that I mix
in about 2 months,
it.
That will be disgusting.
Like, what do you mix with it?
Like sauces and seasonings. So yeah, just rice.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
No meat.
No. I know that's probably bad.
Okay. Yeah.
That I've is. Just never been a big meat person.
Okay.
Fair.
What are you fixated on right now?
Me?
Yeah.
Whatever the
cafeteria?
University has.
That's true. You
not
can't really
fixated
do that.
On anything
that's
right now.
That's true. All right.
So
I don't know who this is from, but it's an unknown number that we will find out soon. So she says, or he, no question, but I would like her to know that I love watching her worship at church. Aww. Her energy is so infectious. I'm so happy when I see her because she hypes up the energy. I know.
That's so sweet. Thanks.
We don't know.
That's good.
My yeah. love language is words of affirmation so that.
There you really go. Yeah.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah. Jenny. So if you're not on our texting group, we want you to text podcast to 260-408-8383 Bree, because she didn't know about this, so she needs to get on our texting group. So text podcast to that number, and each week I send out a text about who's going to be on it. So I send a little bio about you, and then we want
you
didn't
give her the bio?
No, not really. I just put words into it.
You just came up with the wrong bio.
She probably was like, this girl
Sorry,
likes
Jenny,
to stay up late.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but...
I gave him the wrong bio. But yes, so we want you to ask questions back. That way you can be engaged with us and we can be engaged with you and you can ask questions that we didn't think of. But throughout the week, if you know somebody that wants to be on the podcast or if you yourself, we want to find out. So text us.
Yeah. So Bree, again, thanks for being on with us. And if you're watching or you're listening, don't forget, if you see Bree at church, make sure you go up and say hi. Are you,
like
you
talking.
A second service?
Second. I'm a second service person.
Okay.
But also sometimes I will be working at the cafe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So either way, come and see her at the cafe. See her on a Sunday morning. Say hi. Encourage her. because you're going through school.
Yeah.
Always think every college student that's ever come it's just challenging to work and to be in the lives of people and try to get all of that stuff done. It's a big job to be able to go through that. So, encourage you. And again, we'll be praying for you. That'll be, we'll just join in with Jamie and be praying for opportunities for you to be able to share the gospel and that we can see more people come to know Christ. And so don't forget, Jenny puts this out on Wednesday. So like it, share it, make sure that you comment, so that we can get more people viewing it and more people, knowing what's going on at the round table. So
yeah.
Again, Bree, thank you. And thanks everybody for joining us. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.